when they purge, do rape involves purging as well, whatever?
You know what? That's surprisingly a question that wasn't brought up in this movie.
You know what? Well, then, I would like to be in this with that chick from the internship.
I have no comment for that.
Then people will understand, because people always say, you're always smiling and happy, whatever. Well, then, see that scene right there, whatever, with me in here, whatever, and then we'll see if I'm smiling, whatever, because you're just going to see my head looking down like,
I have no comment for that one. I think that might be the most fucked up joke I think you've ever said to me.
I think that might be the most fucked. Nah, I take that back. I was going to say fucked up. I done said some things on here that I'd never regret.
Okay, so hi everybody.
Yeah, so the purge here or whatever, but you know what? Pretty much the purge is a simple plot or whatever. You know, it's pretty much every once a year. For 12 hours straight, all crime is illegal. The police and firefighters and ambulance, they take vacations for 12 hours. You know, they pretty much say, hey, we're off duty right now, whatever. So
yeah, it's the one time a year police gets to tell you to fuck off.
Yeah, so, which I think would be funny, actually, if they were to put that in the movie.
That would have been really funny if, like, they actually tried to call one of the police. It's just like, I'm on vacation, bitch.
He says, do you own a donut shop? No, I'm living in the house. Well, then, let me put you on hold. And he hangs up on a person, whatever.
Right.
So, actually, that's probably going to be one of my flaws of the movie, too.
All right. Well, I think this is actually one that you and I are going to see pretty differently on.
Probably not. Yeah, probably will. I guess so.
Yeah, because I gotta say, I really enjoyed this.
And I can see where the enjoyment came from, whatever. And it was funny because I don't know why there was a lot of black people in my theater for this.
Oh, shit.
But they were talking through the whole movie, which I didn't mind so much, whatever, because they were bringing up points that I was just like, that's a good question, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I saw it with a primarily white audience. Maybe this is an East Coast, West Coast thing. I don't know.
this is an East Coast, West Coast thing. They're just like, oh, because West Coast had more gang and riot-related problems than the West.
I didn't say it. You said it.
Oh, we know our riots here in L.A. But, so you have characters, Ethan Hawke in here, who's pretty much a salesman of a security system that protects the rich against the purge or whatever, which I right. gotta say.
James Sandin.
Which I gotta say already, the beginning of the movie kind of pissed me off a little bit. I was just like, wow, so let's just exterminate the people that can't afford it or whatever. Ain't that a bitch?
We already begin to where I see this differently from you. I actually really like the fact that they set up this family as kind of being, you know, kind of scumbaggish in this new, you know, world, but it at the same time makes sense.
Is it the family or the father? Because I didn't see the family.
Well, the family's rich, but the father's, you know, made the family rich by profiting off others.
So I blame more of him than I do the family. The family, right. Like, they just went along with it or whatever because, you know, they
right.
look like the typical, oh, I'm a house mother and you're the father who brings home the bacon and all that, you know, so.
Right. And we have our two wonderful kids, the one that's a liberal and the daughter that could possibly be a whore, but we're not just going to.
I hope she is. Because you know what I said when I saw her? I said, God damn, what school does she go to? Because she has a school uniform on. I'm just like, man, some chick last night was dressing up on me with a skirt just an inch shorter than that one, you know?
Yeah, so this is where our story begins. We follow this family, and the father, James, is a security builder. Like, he builds security houses and security
Which
walls.
I love because his security doesn't hold up for shit.
It's very shoddy and very shitty done, but because he can say, hey, this stuff will at least work on the purge, he's getting people to buy it.
I couldn't believe that when I saw that. I was just like, and they didn't test this shit out or whatever or anything like that. I was like, wow.
No, the movie, it gets tested.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, wow, that makes me even more angrier now or whatever. I was just like,
right.
I don't give a fuck.
Well, so the movie starts where the purge begins. And as we explained before, the purge is a 12-hour point where everything's fair game. Murder, killing,
raping.
You know what? They didn't address it, but I gotta imagine, yeah, why not? So
the only thing they show in the quick montage they show of the purge happening is just people shooting or beating another.
Right. So the purge begins, and before the purge begins, it's interesting to note that the son really doesn't understand the purge. He doesn't get why it needs to be done.
Yeah, which can be understandable for a kid his age.
Right, no, it's completely understandable. So that leads to this happening. When the purge begins...
Before that, though, they do set up, like, how the purge helps America and stuff like that, whatever.
Right.
Kind of has kind of subliminal messages in and everything of, oh, the purge, 1% of crime is going on, or at 1% of unemployment and all that, whatever. And I was just like, I don't think that'd be plausible, but okay, yeah, I'd go along with it. And I actually like that setup they had made for it.
Yeah, no, it. You know, we talked about earlier how you thought it was stupid, but when they actually explain it, it's like, yeah, you know what? That does make it is a good point.
And then I will get into why it was stupid later on in this review.
Oh, I'm sure I know what you're going to bring up, but...
Yeah.
So, after the purge begins, you know, everyone's chilling, the security system's on, the mom's running on the treadmill, the dad's just sitting there watching security cameras like, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, he's watching this shit like it's home entertainment or whatever, and the girlfriend has her little, or not the girlfriend, the daughter, the slutty daughter has a, well, who we turn to find out is an older boyfriend, and I'm just like, wow, and you think your father would be okay with that? I know, I'd murder that boy, whatever. So she snuck him in through the place, whatever, and he's, potentially we think he sneaks out.
Right, so,
but he eventually comes back. I mean, the plot of this is really kind of like Dread. It's just sort of short and simple. I mean, there's really nothing deep to go into or whatever. It gets straight to the point as far as how it wants to go, whatever.
Right.
We get to the purge commencing. They close into things. The security system, the bullshit security system that they have. You would think since he's a salesman, you'd think he would have got an even better one for his house. But, you know,
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't.
Their whole thing was... The purge will never come this way. I'm just like, come on now. You live in the rich area in the neighborhood or whatever. I was like, you don't think somebody would try to rob you, motherfucker?
Yeah, you damn right they're going to come up there.
Come on.
So
that's like saying, like, oh, the purge happens in L.A. or whatever. Let me go to Compton to go rob those motherfuckers.
Oh, mother God.
You're not going to get a goddamn thing then.
Right. So putting all that aside, it's when the purge commences, the little boy looks on the camera and sees that there's a homeless black man outside asking for help.
Why you gotta be black? Why you gotta say that?
I'm just saying. Did it happen in the movie? Don't criticize me.
Like, he wasn't black in my eyes. I just want you to know that or whatever.
Oh, that's God. Don't you even.
You hear this racism, swollen bastard? You hear this?
Oh, shit.
This is purge.
I normally would fight this, but then I might purge my own bile up. So,
this is the part where I begin to hate every character in the whole movie.
I can understand that. So the son, you know, lets the guy in, and the family is just like, "Wait, what's going on? Why is this happening? No, this shouldn't be happening."
I can't believe the son would know the passcode and all that, whatever, and shit. I can't believe he would give him that, to be honest.
Right. So, then they hear a doorbell, and you get a bunch of masked, pretty much all their neighbors masked, saying, "Hey, hi guys, how you doing today?"
Didn't that guy remind you of Benedict Cumberbatch a little bit?
Kind of.
Kind of a little bit in his mannerisms or whatever, but then, like... I don't know. That, like, at first, I liked that or whatever, and then later on, as it kept going on, I was just like, okay, now they're just posing for the fucking camera and shit like that and swing sets and all this. I was just like, what the fuck is this now?
Right. So,
get some bloodshed.
So, the polite stranger played by Reese Wakefield is his name, mm-hmm. who, he does a good job being the villain in here.
The polite stranger is, like, a really good definition of him, because he's just like... Let us purge. Open up your door, kind sir, and let the homeless scum out or whatever. We just want to purge and murder him. And had that been me as Ethan Hawke, I'd have been like, well, damn, you asked so nicely. Come on in, man. Here, he's right down the hallway if you want.
And that kind of adds the creepiness of it, where he's just like, hello, sir. How are you today? We just want our black man, and if you don't bring him to us, we're going to fucking murder all of you. Okay? Okay. Have a nice day.
Like, he was nice. He said, I just want that fucking nigger. Now get his ass out of here. And then Ethan Hawke was just like, you hate niggers? I hate them too. Let's get his black ass, whatever.
But, and then the other three people in the family are like, we don't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's like, where did this inner racism come out? He's just like, honey, you knew this from day one. Come on now. You remember that black nigger we had?
Right. So,
no, I agree with you on that one. I thought, the villain, the so-called villain in the movie, whatever, if he's revealed to be the real villain, honestly, because there's kind of a twist at the end where the villain is explained, I guess. But this villain here, or whatever, he's kind of the humble gentleman. You know, he's kind of like a Sideshow Bob from Simpsons or whatever. He's kind of, you know.
Wow, that's actually a perfect analogy.
He's kind of psychotic, but at the same time, he's a gentleman still, whatever. He's rich and everything, so he minds that. And I enjoyed that part. It's just like the later on, as they hung out outside, I was just kind of like, right, what the fuck is all this? Got bitches hopping around in masks with no shoes on, giving back rides, whatever. And I was just like, this reminded me of spring break, whatever, when they're doing cartwheels in the hallway and shit. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, so after, you know, they get the black guy in and the family's trying to compensate, figure out what to do with him, the girl's boyfriend goes psycho.
Yeah, like, you know what, as soon as he came in and said, like, I'm not here for you, I'm here for your father, I was like, I already know, I was like, yep, he's part of the purge, whatever, and shit. I gotta say, once lockdown began, the movie kind of became predictable for me, or whatever.
It does, but
my enjoyment out of it, but I was just seeing where it was going, and it was just, what was annoying about it was just these characters not being so goddamn stupid about it, whatever. Like, the daughter, she lets her boyfriend go downstairs by himself, whatever, and just thinking that, hey, I'm just going to talk to him, whatever. Even though it's purge night, he doesn't want me to be around you, whatever. I'm just going to talk to him. I'd have been looking at him like, right.
Yeah.
Because he takes a shot at her dad.
Right. And, you know, I'll agree with you. As soon as the lockdown commences, it does become predictable. But it is fun. Yeah, or at least it was to me. It was fun.
And the main problem I have with that, once the lockdown began or whatever, is because I thought they set up a smart setup at the beginning as far as like how the purge works, which I still thought was absurd or a little bit or whatever, but I was just like, for the morals of the story or this movie or whatever, I can go along with it. And I actually went along with it. And then that shit just completely gets thrown out, to be honest, and it just becomes a generic chase movie.
Yeah, I would agree.
But like you said, it's still fun in some ways.
It is. No, it's, I love those kind of movies, so it is really fun to me to watch how this is going to happen. And, you know, in terms of the plot, nothing really happens until the end twist. All you really see is just the neighbors trying, they break into the house because, surprise, surprise, the security system sucks.
You know what, something does happen in the middle of this before, like you said, the security sucks, which I can't believe he never tested this shit. I'll be honest, I was just like, I'd have been a little worried. Honestly, if I was the wife, I'd have looked at it. Who's played by Lena Headey, by the way? Who's honestly, they could have got any unknown actress to play this. I thought she was just completely useless. I was like, wow, you get Lena Headey to do simple shit like this? They could have got that indie film chick to do this.
That, wow, that actually would have been awesome. Now that I think about
it, they could have got any female. They could have put me in a drag and did this. I would have been like, don't you open that door?
No, I'm gonna think about the what you said first. Yeah. Okay, all right.
What you thinking about me, bro? I was like, hey, you want to see that? I can put a wig on real quick.
No, I'm thinking about some of the scenes of my girlfriend. Meow.
Something does happen in the beginning or whatever. We see the daughter. She comes out and say, I forgot her boyfriend. Like, he's dead or whatever.
Henry.
She just wanders off. And I'm just like, okay, this house is big, but it's not that goddamn big to where you lose the family and everything like that.
Oh, yeah. That actually is very good to bring up, because that actually is one of the complaints that I have with it. Because that's just
annoying. It was kind of annoying that I was just like, why did she just run off like that? She knows what's going on or whatever. And she just like, oh, I can't believe that happened. Just
yeah, that's just flat out stupid. I'm with you on that.
I thought the kids, honestly, like, the kids just annoyed the fuck out of me. Like, there's a scene with the son or whatever, when they break in or whatever, he has his flashlight on, and the whole time I'm just going, turn your fucking flashlight on, Jesus Christ.
I mean, my whole thing with that is, like, you know, think about if you're his age and you're in his shoes, what are you gonna do?
Hide in the dark.
Okay, fair enough. I would probably be the one with the flashlight looking for my parents. Maybe I'll die before you, but...
Because I remember when my uncles or my dad and them used to, like, fuck around with us and shit like that, and we try to run and hide from them. I'd hide in the closet with the light off.
Okay. Fair enough.
And I had flashlights. I had flashlights, but I would never use them, whatever, because I was just like, oh, they could see that light. I mean, it's just honestly, that's like, especially for, and you could say that for an excuse, whatever, but at the same time, had an understanding at the beginning of this film. This kid knows how to hide, and plus, he's smart as hell because he built a fucking Army Tech camera security system here out of a goddamn toy.
Right. So, you know, besides that, besides the whole thing with the kids, it's pretty much run of the mill where, you know, they're trying to fight off as many of these people coming into their house as possible.
Yeah, because they can't find the black guy. Well, you know what, they eventually find him, and this is where the family has a change of heart, because they're just like, we're going to turn him over and everything will be fine, and then they're just looking like, you know what, there was a scene too, by the way, I got to ask you, maybe you know this, whatever. There was a scene where the homeless guy, who's played by, they call him Bloody Stranger in the movie, whatever, but Edwin Hodge is the actor, whatever.
Yeah.
He grabs the daughter, and he puts a gun to her, and the wife is about to shoot him, but he throws the daughter against the wall or whatever, and shit, and she knocks out unconscious or whatever. Okay, as they're taping the homeless guy to the chair or whatever, she wakes up and it looks like she was possessed. Did you see the look in her eyes? I thought her head was going to start spinning and shit, and this was going to be the twist of the film, how it became a horror film, whatever, because she had this look in her eyes like she was just like, what's going on? I was just like, why is she doing that?
I didn't notice it. Now that I feel like next time I'm going to watch it, that's going to point out to me, and I'm going to be like, yeah.
Yeah, pay attention to that, because I was actually asking you that question, like, why was she doing that? But I was curious about it, because I was just looking at it, I was just like, why is she talking and moving her eyes like that, whatever?
That's probably on the director. That's probably on the director to say, who said, you know, look startled, and then she just went overkill with it.
I'm telling you, she looked like she was possessed. I thought that's where I thought it was, like, some kind of horror aspect was going to take hold of the film, and I was just like, oh, okay, something's going to happen here, and then nothing. I was just like, oh. No. So she's just a bad actress.
All right. Well, fair enough, bub.
So this is where the family has a change of heart of turning this lovely black man in and whatever. And they're like,
you know, right.
And then once again, the son runs off. The daughter runs off as well. And I just go like, oh, my God, don't you guys have like a security room where you guys can meet up or something like that? Like, don't you have like in case of something bad happens or whatever, let's meet in this room. Not let's run all over the goddamn house when we got people trying to get inside.
You know what? You know the reason I didn't think of that? Because they already established that the father isn't exactly the smartest one when it comes to security.
Yeah, they established that by him being a dumbass. You know, he really was a dumbass, too. I was just like, he gives his wife a gun and tells his kids to go hide. And I was like, she holds a gun and stays in that room to protect the children while you go out. You'll send your wife down a dark hallway at the end of the other side of the house to go protect. Isn't that a bitch?
Yeah, that's throwing everything you love to the wolves.
Exactly, whatever. Because it's like she's a housewife. These people are here for blood or whatever. Okay, why would you send her by herself? Whatever. I thought he was gonna send the homeless dude. Where I thought he's gonna untie the homeless dude. By the way, the homeless dude just becomes invisible because he's in the living room by the front door, and yet nobody sees his black ass. Whatever.
So I mean, it is dark.
Hurt me with that one.
I'm just saying, if we're gonna keep commenting on that,
you know what, I'm not gonna lie, I knew one of us was gonna say it. I just didn't know it was gonna be you. Right there, you hurt me a little bit, but you know what, hey, we'll move on.
Did I hurt you for beating you to the joke?
Oh man, no, that hurt. That hurt because that was my joke, bitch. But yeah, I will give you that one. But that nigga is kind of dark. I ain't gonna lie. That nigga was blending in with the wall one time when he was standing there. When that camera pointed in on him, I was just like, damn, you can't even see his face. All I see is
on a level of Brian Gumbel the Seal. Where are you?
Man, I thought that was a Bubba from fucking Forrest Gump. I was waiting for that brother Lip to be hanging out talking about little fried shrimp, little shrimp, open the shrimp.
That's why they're fighting him. That's why they're fighting him off. I look homeless, but I'm actually the owner of Bubba Gump. I was on this show called Uncover Bosses, and I told them all they were fired.
I think that's why the Sideshow Bob character in here, or whatever, was looking for him. He was just like, this man promised us all the shrimp we could eat and didn't deliver.
So now, as white people do, we have to bring justice upon his ass.
Let us purge. It's kind of, every time they kept saying Purge, it just reminded me of Savages, where they just kept saying Savages in the goddamn movie. I was just like, okay, you don't need to keep reminding me that the movie's called Purge.
It kept reminding me because my food poisoning was like, oh shit, I don't feel good again.
I'm about to purge right now.
Because I was really enjoying the movie. I watched it today. I was really enjoying the movie, but every time I was like, ugh.
Every time you heard the word, you was like, I feel like purge is something out right now.
Yeah, every time I heard the word purge, it's like, huh, when did I do?
That's actually a joke, folks. Where I'm actually covering up for Lehu. Every time he saw that black man on screen, he felt like throwing up. But anyway.
Oh, don't you even. God damn it, I walked right into that one.
Oh, buddy. Which, by the way, he is the only black guy in the movie, too, which was...
Something...
Well, they were in the suburbs, so never mind.
There's many directions that we could take that joke, and none of them are probably politically okay.
You know what my biggest flaw of the movie, though? I just felt disappointed. I mean, not that I walked into the movie, because as we heard last week, not that I walked into the movie with expecting much. I don't really walk into movies nowadays with expecting much, whatever. But what they had set up in the beginning, I was just like, this could work or whatever. And what I saw in that montage of like cities on fire and shit like that, whatever, stuff like that, I was like, okay, let's up the ante. And I think where they failed is that they just had it in the suburbs and it became kind of a sandbox type film, whatever. I would agree. I was like, let's take this shit to the city and see some real, like how we don't see black people. Let's see how far, like, racists will go. Like, we'll have a race war, gang war, and shit like that, whatever. And I was just like, I want to see that or whatever. And I thought it kind of I thought it set up something that was smart in the film and just kind of went generic.
You know what? I thought about that, too. And I actually watched an interview with the director. And from the way he was talking, that sounded like that's the way he wanted to go with it. But look who's producing this.
Ah.
That bastard said, hell no.
I did not know he was a producer, honestly.
Right. People, for those of you who don't know who we're talking about, Michael Bay is the executive producer on this.
Yeah, there's 7 producers on here, but Michael Bay is the main producer. Oh my god, I did not know that at all.
Yeah, Michael Bay is the main producer, and this first was at Blumhouse, who...
I gotta say then, this is probably the most toned-down Michael Bay production ever.
Right. This was actually first at Blumhouse, which everyone knows did Sinister, Insidious, Dark Skies, really good horror films. He had this first, but then Michael Bay came in and financed pretty much the rest of it, because the director asked, but it seemed like, from what the director was saying, it seemed like Bay kind of controlled how the film went after he financed it.
I am shocked to hear that, for the simple fact that I think the idea I just said, I think someone like Bay would go along with that, whatever, and the fact that he toned it down, I don't believe
it. I know, I don't either, but... I mean, my whole thing was, like, it sounded like from the interview he wanted to do that big scale, like, go into cities and see how that is. And it sounds like if this does well and there's a second one made, it sounds like that's what he's going to do.
As Bay learned, I don't want to believe it, but as Michael Bay, after all these years, finally learned how to tone down a film.
Right. Did he learn with the wrong one?
I know.
Well, actually, you know what? No. Here's the thing, you know, it's produced by Bay's company Platinum Dunes, which does a lot of horror remakes, which, if you look at that compared to his regular stuff, all those are toned down for better or for worse.
Yeah, I guess a lot of his, the horror producers he does, whatever, they're kind of not over the top and extreme, whatever. It's his action flicks that are usually out of the team, whatever.
Right, I mean, you know, let's think about this for a second. Let's look at the remake of the Nightmare on Elm Street that they did, which could have used some style and flair, to be completely honest.
Let me just say this, though. At the same time of saying his action flicks over it, this movie became an action flick almost towards the end. With the whole,
you know, you're kind of right.
So I mean, that's why I'm finding that really hard to believe. That director probably is lying in that interview.
And that's the thing. You never know. But
yeah, we'll never know unless we put a truth detector on their ass or something like that. But yeah, right. Like you said, we'll never know about that. But wow, I'm just blown away that they had a toned down action scene in these films, or whatever. That blew my mind right there. And so yeah, we pretty much go on a just a. just a little sandbox. I mean, that was my main problem with the film, I guess. I was just disappointed that I thought they could have took this to a larger scale, whatever, and could have probably done it cheaply, too, whatever, to be honest, because there ain't really much going on except some people and guns and stuff like that, whatever. But,
right.
I mean, if you're going to go to the extreme, whatever, and set up all this rape, murders, and all this, whatever, show me that shit, then. Go over the top and show me that, whatever.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm with you. I would have much rather seen him. You know what? I was talking with this about someone last night. I could see this as a movie where, you know, it didn't do well this time, but, you know, come 25, 30 years down the road, when it comes around remake time for our time, for this time right now,
ooh.
I could see someone maybe taking this and going that route.
And the thing is, this movie really doesn't, like, the idea of it doesn't really need big characters like Ethan Hawke or whatever, and, like, and Lena Headey or whatever. And honestly, the characters is what kind of dragged me down in the film, just seeing them sandboxing it or whatever, because I just didn't like anybody. I was hoping for them all to die. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
I mean, Ethan Hawke, I kind of liked at times, whatever, and stuff, but I was just like, wow, that's kind of an asshole thing for you to do, whatever.
I think I'm with you on that. I think it's just because he's, you know, he's by far and away the best actor in this, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
So
it's probably his character more than his act, because, yeah, you said, as far as acting-wise, he's given the most to do. And he's acting pretty good in it, whatever. I think his character is just kind of like, you're kind of supposed to hate him or whatever. But his family or whatever, I was just like, oh my God, man, they are so fucking annoying to the point where I was just like, well, everybody just die now. Everybody learn your lesson or whatever and shit. That's the way to learn it, whatever. Everybody dies or whatever.
I think my whole thing, you know, once again, let me reiterate. I did like this, but I do think when it comes to films like these, there's much better. Like, the main thing that I thought of the whole time with this is I thought this was a toned-down version of The Strangers, where it's a home invasion flick with people with masks, ironically enough, but I think that movie did it a lot better in just in terms of fear and, like, setting up that you all are screwed.
Yeah, I can see that, too. You know what director I would have liked to see to do this now, though, that I'm talking about it? The guy that did I Saw the Devil.
Oh, wow.
He did the Arnold Schwarzenegger film as well.
Yeah, The Last Stand, you're right. You know what?
I would have loved
to see also, even maybe the guy from Dredd take it.
Oh, yeah, even that, because, I mean, I think the guy here set up a good concept or whatever, but honestly, he didn't need someone
like this. Actually, you know what? I know who would have been perfect for this. The guy who directed Cuban Splice.
Ooh.
He would have gone nuts with this.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm not saying going nuts and crazy, but, like, you don't want anything over the top. In this world, yeah, I kind of do whatever.
He would have gone ballistic with this.
Because a 12-hour period or whatever, as far as people losing their shit, whatever, I wouldn't have gave no complaints to anything I would have saw in this movie, whatever. Or
no,
cartoon or anything, whatever.
I agree, and he's a director who he probably would have been on set like, I already showed creature sex.
Why don't we show these three black men raping this little white girl? Because I ain't gonna lie, I was so hoping that daughter was gonna get raped. I ain't gonna lie.
Oh, god damn. Before we wrap this up here, we should probably talk about the twist at the end.
People are gonna be like, it's like, oh, P1 does have a heart. But then here's the scene, I want to see the daughter get raped. Oh my god.
Oh shit.
I want to see Forrest Whitaker come in here and rape somebody with his eye.
We're moving on.
So towards the end of the movie, Ethan Hawke, he gets shot in, well, he gets stabbed, honestly. He dies by the guy, and then the daughter shoots the main villain, and we come to the conclusion that the neighbors, the actual neighbors or whatever, who are kind of a little pissed off that the family has this much money or whatever and just been flashing it on with their add-ons to the house and the addition or whatever. So they come in and murder all these masked vigilantes, if you will.
Yeah.
Let's tell them they already got the father or wherever Ethan Hawke, excuse me, Ethan Hawke's character's name, whatever. Now let's do the kids and the wife, whatever. And they're just like, what the fuck? And then out of nowhere, the mystical magical Negro appears.
Yeah, so he ends up pretty much taking everyone out, and then the wife takes out, like, the last of the neighbors, and the movie ends with all the, you know, emergency forces now back on after their 12 hours showing up at the house.
It's like, is unemployment bad in this city or whatever? Or, like, does this help employment? What was it?
How funny would it be, like, if you're like, all right, well, the purge is over, let's go see how bad the damage is. You go to this one house and you see, like, 30 bodies outside and three people sitting. It's like, whoa.
Well, especially if you go to Lena Headley's house, whatever, it's just, like, bodies and trucks and shit is all over the place. The house is destroyed. I'm just like, oh, damn. Or how about this? Can you imagine that if, okay, like, say, because I think this would have been funny, and I would have gave this movie a fucking high-ass seat, honestly, if I'd have saw this. Imagine a guy that just raped some chick in an alley, and then the next day they work together or whatever, and he's just like, how you doing today? I'm just like, what the fuck? I'm sorry, this would have been perfect for a Michael Bay film, though. Just like, just that shit we see in his films, whatever, take that shit to the extreme in this film, whatever. That would have been hilarious. Just like, so, like, everybody just go back to the, like... Like, the neighbors, Lena Headley, she lets them go back to the house. Can you imagine how much for that next year that tension's just going to be, whatever, just looking, if you're walking the dog or something, just looking there.
Especially the girl who gets her bros noken over the glass table at the end of the movie.
I'm just like, so what happens? You just go back to normal lives. Hey, another day at the office. Oh, what'd you do over the weekend? Oh, I murdered three people, you know.
Same old, you know, purge shit. So what'd you do, rape a bitch?
Yeah, man, I got that bitch good. You know? Hey, P1, what'd you do? Everything. Everything.
Lehu, what's P1 doing during the purge? I don't even want to tell you. I'm scarred for life, him just telling me.
I ain't gonna lie, I'd have locked every fucking female up in a basement somewhere. I'd have kept their ass. Like, then I'd have freed them the next day and be like, come on, get out of here. Come on now. Come on, stop. Hurry up.
I would have... Good God. I just would, like... You know me... I don't mean to up the white stereotype, but I would have locked my fucking house and just stayed in it.
Yeah, honestly, I think it could have just been an easy short film put together, whatever, had not the family just kept wandering off, going around. The father had to keep going around looking for everybody and shit like that. I mean, I just found the characters just annoying. I was just like, oh my God, I just want them all to die now. When Ethan Hawke died, I was just like, one down.
Three to go. All right. So, what'd you give it? What would you give it?
I guess I can give it a lower end. I mean, I don't. You can go ahead and see it in theater. You probably won't mind whatever, but I don't think there's anything you need to rush on. You know, I think this is better to view it at home.
Okay. Fair enough. I agree with you. I give this a rent it, you know, unless if you go with a bunch of your friends to the theater to see it, I think this is one where you call a bunch of your buddies over and say, hey, let's watch this. And you know, it has its predictable moments, but you know, with horror films like this, that's where all your friends are like, oh, that bitch's gonna get killed. So I think there's a certain element of fun with that in horror movies, and this movie's perfect for that.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I don't wanna see a sequel. I actually wanna see a remake with a different part. I wanna see this shit. Over. I want to see this be the best movie of the year as far as just being like, that's a stupid idea, but God damn it, all the shit that happened in this
They film, went for it.
They went for it. They set up something in the bin because they tried to set up messages at the beginning of this film that just kind of went nowhere. I was just like, oh, well, there was no point in having that or whatever. I mean, they could have just got right into the film, to be honest.
It sucks because they're great messages and then they just kind of get hung for dry.
I think the part of my rating where it just goes with just me being disappointed is what I thought the film could have been, and they just didn't go there. So
yeah, I know. I agree with you.
So yeah, that is The Purge, whatever. I'm going to go out tonight and start purging right now, whatever. So
play, you know, I'm going to go purge. I'm going to go purge in a toilet at the thought of what you're going to do.
Let me purge. Well, I already purged last night, so never mind.
Yeah, excuse me while I go purge. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Nothing is ever going to be okay again.